Holy God, you're calling us. You're calling us every time. And the call makes us uncomfortable. The call challenges us. The call asks us to move from one place to the other. Last week, oh God, you told us about Noah. Today, we're going to talk about Abraham. And your call, and your promise, and how this man of faith has stood on your promises. We praise you, O God. We love you. In the name of Jesus, we come to you. Amen. Let us begin with our opening hymn. 671, I heard the voice of Jesus say. Reading from Genesis 12, verses 1 to 9. The Lord said to Abraham, leave your land, leave your family and your father's household for the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name respected, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those that you will curse. All the families of the earth will be blessed because of you. And Abraham left, just as the Lord told him. And Lot was his eldest son, went with him. Now Abraham was 75 years old when he left Haran. And Abraham took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all of his possessions, those who became members of their household in Haran, and they set out for the land called Canaan. And when they arrived in Canaan, Abraham traveled through the land as far as the sacred place at Shechem, at the Oak of Morel. The Canaanites lived in the land at that time. And the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, I give this land to your descendants. And so Abraham built an altar there to the Lord who appeared to him. And from there he traveled towards the mountains east of Bethel, pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and worshipped in the Lord's name. And then Abraham set out toward the arid southern plain, making and breaking camp as he went. A message from the Lord. Thanks be to God. So last Sunday, we looked, listened, heard, prayed with the story of Noah. Today before us is another story, a foundation story of our faith, the call of Abraham. So I will begin by just telling us a little bit about this man, a whole story, and then we will talk about this moment in his life when he gets a call. Abraham was born about 2,000 years before Jesus came to earth. His father's name was Terach, and Terach was a carpenter. And his business was that he would make little idols, little images of these many gods. And it is said that from very early in his life, Abraham was always questioning the faith of his father. And he would continue to look at all of the other religions of the day until he came to believe in a single deity. And he began to teach. And he tried to convince his father, Terach, I have found this one God. But his father will not listen. So one day when Abraham was alone in the store, he took a hammer. And then he smashed all of the idols that his father was making, except the largest one. And then he placed the hammer on the hand of the largest one. See, what happens is when his father returned, he asked Abraham, what happened here? And Abraham said, well, the idols, they got into a fight. And if you can see, the big one, they smashed the other one. And the father said, "Don't be funny. These idols have no life, and they have no power in them. They cannot do anything." And Abraham replied, "Then why do you worship them?" Eventually, the deity that Abraham worshipped, the one that was called Yahweh or Jehovah in the Old Testament, became the Christian God. And he asked that Abraham leave his home and his family and go to another place. And God promised that he would have many descendants. Remember, he's talking to an old man. And this may sound like a joke, to be told that you will have many children when you're way past, you and your wife are way past childbearing. He was promised that there would be a great nation. And that nation we will hear about as the Bible story continues, that becomes the nation that we call Israel. Not the same as the Israel that we talk about today. Abraham obeyed a covenant. Remember that with Noah, the covenant was, "I will never, ever destroy the earth by a flood once again." Here with Abraham, another covenant will be made. He becomes a traveling person with his family and his animals, and God brings them to a land called Canaan, which the Jews refer to as the promised land, the land of promise. And that's why in all of these travels of Abraham and later on of the people of God across the deserts of Sinai in what used to be Egypt, we would see the people standing on the promises. One day we will have our own place. And it took them 40 years to be able to get to where they were. 40 years means one generation in Jewish language. Abraham had a wife, Sarah. But the trouble was that Sarah was old and it took too long. So Abraham took another wife. His name was Hagar, to be his wife. Hagar, according to legend, was a daughter of the Pharaoh, the highest official in the Egyptian government. And it was given, she was given, in those days when women were considered as property, just like the livestock and other things that a person has, Hagar was given to Abraham to be his wife. And she bore Abraham a son. And the name of that son is Ishmael. According to Muslim and now Jewish tradition, Ishmael is the ancestor of Islam. So now you have three religions still living in the world today. You have Judaism, the Jewish faith. You have Christianity, the Christian faith. And you have Islam, the Muslim faith. All of them tracing back their origins on this man, Abraham. So when Abraham was 100 and Sarah was 90, God said that they will give or they will receive a son. And before that, their names are changed. Abraham, as you see in your bulletin, it says, call of Abraham became Abraham, which means the father of the nations. And Sarah means princess. Sarah bore Abraham a son. The name of the son was Isaac, or Yitzhak in their language. It means laughter. It represented the joy that Abraham and Sarah had when they got this boy as their descendant. Isaac becomes the ancestor of Israel, the people of God, and the Jewish people. So having made the world in Genesis, having seen it go to evil, having destroyed it with the flood, now the story comes and centers on just one couple, Abraham and Sarah. Abraham is asked to leave all, everything. Everything that he's used to, every comfort and safety of home that he had, to step into the unknown. Go to this land that I will promise you. So there are three promises, and I'd like you to keep this in mind every time you go to the story, what these promises are, because they are written in the scripture. The first promise, descendants. You will have a long line of people who will follow after you. The second promise, very important to the Jews, I will give you land. And it's amazing, as we live in the 21st century, that land today is contested territory between Palestinians and Israelites, the people of the state of Israel, not the same Israel that we're talking about here. And finally, I will give you blessing. So the purpose is clear. Every time that God chooses someone in Scripture, it is for a reason. And the reason that is given to us is that God chooses Abraham so that he can be a blessing to the whole world. Here is a quote that we now use for what church is about in the 21st century. And the quote comes from this particular passage. In you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. That is God's promise. Later on, God will do the same thing with Jesus, offering a blessing to everyone and blessing the world all over again. So, the reason for why we are church, we are not here to perpetuate an institution called church or a building that stands on Queen and Carlos. Our mission is to be God's blessing to the world. So the meaning of that encounter is what is before us today. And it goes far beyond the three promises. The relationship of God to Abraham is forever. There is no going back. God never turns back. God never leaves. After Noah, God has said, there will be no more punishment of the flood to my people. The blessings are a declaration of love. And God loves Abraham, as you hear in the story, not because of anything Abraham had done, because he had done nothing yet. He was just an ordinary man. God loves Abraham just because. And I wrote here, if you can hear this, Brian, and if you cannot, it's okay. We are loved for who we are and not for what we do. That is something I'd like to be up there on the sign. We are loved for who we are and not for what we do. We may not always feel loved. We may not always feel blessed. We say God is good all the time, but sometimes we know in our hearts that that is very difficult to say. And we struggle with that. And things happen that make us doubt whether God is really good. And most of that comes because we feel or are made to feel that we're not good enough. Or we're told by this culture that we have to have certain things or do certain things or be certain things in order to be worthy or happy. The good news to us, my dear friends, is that Abraham was not good enough. Abraham was just an ordinary person coming from a father, as I said, who worshipped other gods, who didn't know who is this one that he was following. And he did some pretty bad things too. I don't want to hide that from you. He offered his son Isaac to God as commanded. That was a good thing. But he also gave his wife away to other men in order to save himself once to the Pharaoh. He exiled his son Ishmael, who is his son with Hagar, Ishmael's mother, to near death. He put his own son into the desert to die, but God rescued him. And today we have another tradition called Islam, which comes from Abrahamic tradition. The blessing did not come because of what Abraham did. The blessing came because he was open to having God in his life, and so can we. So notice that the entire story begins with a call, and that's where it all happens in Scripture. First comes the call, and then the covenant. The covenant, as we said last Sunday, is an agreement, a treaty, or a contract. When two parties enter into a relationship, they agree to do certain things. So in marriage, for instance, husband and wife promise to be faithful to each other. If you take a loan, then the bank gives you money, expecting that you will repay it. When you buy a house, the mortgage becomes your covenant. It's your responsibility to abide by it. If you live in Canada, you agree to abide by the laws of this country. So in Genesis 12, our reading for this morning, God has a covenant with Abraham. The promise of descendants, land, and blessing, and a great nation. But the relationship itself, I'd like to point out, is not. The relationship is not the contract. It is not a case of God saying, I will love you, but only if you love me or love me back. That is not how it goes. The unusual part of the relationship is that God gives Abraham the three promises and does not require anything in return. There are no obligations placed on the man because the relationship is God's commitment, God's promise, and a promise that is, as I said, forever. And it is important to see that. See the sequence of the story. The promise is what came first before the response. It would be very different if the response came before the promise. It wasn't a case of Abraham saying, God, okay, I'll do this, but what have you got for me? If that was the way, then the promises will look like a reward. Something that Abraham earned, something that Abraham did. But that is not our story. We see the promise was something God did even before Abraham said yes. And even before he accepted that call, God had already given it to him. And the rest of that story is how Abraham, or God, will continue to support Abraham in that call, because Abraham will keep getting in the way, just like us. It's important to see that Abraham never made a promise to God. It was always God who was making promises to him and keeps them all the time. Now, having said that, this does not mean that Abraham's response, Abraham's yes, Lord, was not needed, because it was. In the second half of the text, Genesis 12, 4 and 9, we read that Abraham went as the Lord told him and journeyed on to the rest of the land. It is in undertaking that journey that Abraham demonstrated trust without any shred of assurance except God's promises. He had nothing else to go by except to stand on the promise. So this is a story of one person who trusts himself to go into the unknown with God and God's promise. It is an invitation to us, as we too are invited. Think of it this way. We now are Abraham in this story. We are the ones being called by God as individuals and as a congregation. Step into the unknown. God has made God's promises. Every Sunday we meet and we learn a little bit more about what those promises are and how to stand on the promise. And one promise that the God that we know in Jesus made to us is, I will be with you always. I'd like us to remember that. Sometimes with tears in our eyes, in our suffering, in our heartache, and all the burdens as life comes to us, remember those powerful words, I will be with you always. Not sometimes, Not just when you feel it. Not just when the weather is good. Not just when you're healthy. I will be with you always. And let's stand on that promise of a God who tells us in so many and so simple a word, do not be afraid. It will be okay. I will be with you. Our challenge is to trust that word, stand on that promise, knowing that God is always faithful, and God will never, ever turn back on God's word. Amen. With that, immediately after that, let's sing, Great is your faithfulness.